good afternoon, everyone. You know, coming from Hawaii, it took me about a whole entire day to get here to New Orleans, so I appreciate the fact that it is cold weather. In Hawaii right now, it's about 70-something degrees, and it's passing showers, so typical November weather for Hawaii. But today, I'm here to talk to you folks a little bit about another partnership that I'm involved in, and talk to you a little bit about this manual that we've developed since 2006. So really, I want to also acknowledge my co-authors on this abstract, which is Efrosini Danigelis, Emily McCaughey, and Alice Say. They would have loved to have been here, but unfortunately, Emily's on vacation somewhere, I'm not sure where, and Efrosini had to stay behind and man the fort for me while I'm here in New Orleans. I have nothing to disclose. With respect to the presentation today, I'm going to describe some principles of community partnership, identify themes from the focus groups that we conducted, as well as discuss how these themes inform the development of our updated participatory manual for community partners. So just a little bit about our partnership. As my introduction mentioned, I started my work in CBPR back in 2002, and it really was this opportunity for me to actively engage in research, something that I never wanted to do ever in my life. And I had the opportunity to introduce myself to community-based participatory research through Dr. Alice Say. And she, at the time, was doing a project on asthma and really understanding what the barriers and challenges are for asthma management amongst Native Hawaiian families in Hawaii. And from that work, we were able to form this partnership, Hui A'o I Kaika. So Hui means to is a group. A'o I Kaika is to be strong or to be of multiple disciplines. So our group name, it really literally means a group of many disciplines. And it is from this opportunity that we were able to then partner with the John A. Burns School of Medicine, most recently with the Department of Native Hawaiian Health. So as I mentioned earlier, my co-authors on this paper, they actually represent different disciplines. So Emily is a social work, she's a social worker by profession, and Efrosini actually is a PhD prepared anthropologist in ethnography. So when we decided upon a name, we really had to think about it, because in Hawaii, names are very important. So when we named ourselves, we said, you know what, we are a group of many people. So earlier this morning, I had the opportunity to present about Pili Ohana, which is another partnership that I'm involved in. And that partnership focuses on communities and academia forming, coming together to address a specific disease process of obesity. But with this project or this partnership, we're actually looking at how does community-based participatory research impact our communities. So we identified three guiding principles for our partnership, and they include, you know, your classic co-learning, power sharing, and mutual ownership. So as Dr. Say and I ventured into this project in 2002 for the asthma specific area, we really had this opportunity to teach one another. Now, she coming from the background of nursing as well as myself, but she really was trained here in the Midwest in Chicago and had that opportunity to bring her experiences from Chicago to Hawaii on how she approached research. And myself, coming straight out of graduate school, not really understanding what CBPR was, I had that opportunity to learn from her what this process was. We also have this thing about power sharing. Now, whenever we come to the table and we are looking for grant applications, it is something that we have to agree upon. It's not something that Dr. Say wants to do and only she wants to do. It has to be an agreed upon thing, including the budget. Now, we have an equal say on the budget. And same with the work. So as we move forward and do various presentations at different conferences, we have to agree on what we're going to present on. So it's this ongoing conversation that we have with one another, as well as the other members of the group, not to forget them. So back in 2006, as I mentioned, we were working on this asthma project, and the asthma project led to the development of this manual. So on the left-hand side of the slide, you'll see the original cover called for the manual, which was called at the time Participatory Research Manual for Community Partners. And this manual has been used not just locally in Hawaii, but also she had shared with me that it was also used at the University of Puerto Rico to teach the CBPR class. Now, as a graduate student currently, I know that Dr. Say has also utilized this manual in her own CBPR class. So what the manual did was it really captured different tools that community need to learn on how to conduct research. So it was a training opportunity to teach individuals and groups on how to conduct CBPR. In 2012, we had this opportunity to partner with the Department of Native Hawaiian Health at the John A. Burns School of Medicine to revise the manual. And as we all know, there's a lot published out there on CBPR. But what's not published about CBPR is really what is the community's point of view on research. And that's what this manual, this revised edition of the manual, is going to focus on, is really what does community perceive as research, and what should we be doing? Coming from the academic standpoint, what should we be doing to engage community in research? As part of our process in 2012, we created an advisory board, and the characteristics and role of these board members included the following. So they had to be members of a community, actively involved in their community. They could either have professional or volunteer experience in CBPR, and they were really interested in the empowerment of their own community. We also, to kind of give a sense of our demographics, we wanted both the young and the old on our board. So, you know, in Hawaii, we always look towards our kupuna or our elders for advice. And we felt it very important that majority of this advisory board were of kupuna status or elderly status. Their role for us in this process was to really help us develop methodological feasibility, and they did that by guiding us with respect to how we should approach or what tools we should be using in our community, as well as project vetting. They also provided us with guidance to get us into the communities that we wanted to work with and get their buy-in. So with respect to project vetting, it took us a while to you know, in the proposal, we decided that we're going to do focus groups. And we had a list of questions that we had tentatively developed for the application. But we took it to our advisory board once we were funded. And we asked them, are these questions okay? And they said no, because they felt that the questions were a little bit too high literacy for our community, that it should be more simplified, that it should be more direct, and really more talk story approach in the process. So we went back and revised it at least two more times, and they finally gave us a stamp of approval. And during this process, we also decided to just pilot it with one focus group just to try out the questions with the community. And we found from that experience that, yeah, no, these questions weren't going to work for the general community that we wanted to interview, so we had to revise it again. So we did go ahead and finally conduct these focus groups, and we had about 12 focus groups. And initially, we had hoped to not just do focus groups in Honolulu. We wanted to go to our neighbor islands, such as Hawaii Island, Maui, and Kauai, because they all actively participate in research. But unfortunately, the funding wouldn't allow us. So we were basically Oahu-centered research. And in this process, we were able to not just work in the urban core of Honolulu, but also go on to the west side, where our population is predominantly Native Hawaiian, underserved, socioeconomically poorer. We also then went to the North Shore, where, of course, right now it's surf season, so it's a very diverse community out there, as well as the windward side, which is like where the Kaneohe Marine Corps base is. And so again, you know, we went to the rural and urban communities and asked them to participate in one of 12 focus groups. So in the end, we had 56 Native Hawaiians. So we didn't define Native Hawaiians. We just said, if you identify as being Hawaiian, then we'll include you in our focus groups. All of our focus groups were facilitated by a Ke Alu Mama staff member. So it was either myself or Efrasini, Emily, or any of our community health workers. So this also provided an opportunity to build capacity within our own organization. So we were able to train our staff on how to conduct focus groups in our communities. So I'd like to focus a little bit more on the results of our focus groups. And what we found after doing our analysis for the past about a year, it took us about a year to actually go through everything and really refine these results. And what we found was that there were three overarching themes. One was who plays a role, the second, circles of relationships, and the third, patients. So let me tell you a little bit more about who plays a role. So we defined it as a level of investment of the individual and community have in research. So as depicted in the model, you know, so the further away you are from the center, from the circle, the main circle, it demonstrates your involvement in it, so or your investment in research. So the closer you are to a strong investment, the closer you are to that main circle, really defines how your relationship is to the project. So for example, a strong investment might be myself or an investigator who's conducting research in the community. A weak investment might be someone who is like far removed from the project altogether. With respect to circles of relationships, there were three levels that we identified. So the inner, the middle of the graphic, the mid, the second circle, and then the third, the outer circle. And really these, you could look at this in the perspective of a participant. So as a participant, I felt like my relationship to the project people was more defined than my family members who weren't ever part of the project. The final theme that we found was patience. And patience, as anyone who has done CVPR knows, patience is something that you really have to have in this process. And it really came out through our focus groups that, you know, it takes patience to develop relationships. It takes patience to nurture and prolong these relationships and to sustain it. So, for example, with this Hui Aoi Kaika, Dr. Say and I have been working together since 2002, but you know, once the funding ended for the initial project, we didn't really actively engage research, but we were still around each other. We kind of still checked in. We were part of each other's, you know, process throughout research career. With respect to my experience with Pili, we really had to further nurture our relationship because we had ongoing funding since 2005. So different, you know, different approaches to a partnership. But with respect to patience, it's something that I think all individuals who participate in CBPR can speak to. So this is just to recap that the main themes were, again, who plays a role, the circles of relationship, as well as the patience required to do this. So in with respect to understanding the Native Hawaiian's view of community research, it really does guide the CBPR process. It helps to with the translation of research findings into practice, and in the end, it can actually help to sustain projects, so making them more sustainable. In regards to where we are with that manual, so we as a partnership has decided to hold off and on publishing the manual because we want to actually get a manuscript done before we publish our manual back into community. We did identify what our outline would be, how we would go about presenting the information, as well as what format is most usable to people now. So our original manual was a book, a physical book, and if you wanted an electronic copy, you'd have to contact someone at the Department of Native Hawaiian Health, and they would send it to you. But we really want to be able to get this manual out to as many people as possible, so we'll definitely use a web-based format. And in closing, I just want to take this opportunity to acknowledge, you know, if it wasn't for the participants in the community who willingly participated in our focus groups, we wouldn't have the information we have today. Our community advisors for taking the time for initially helping us set up our methodology as well as vetting our questions, and they continue to provide that guidance that we need throughout our project, as well as community academic consultants, as well as our other partners. And that's it.